Will you turn with me, first of all, to Genesis chapter 22? We have been studying this chapter, and we want to give just a brief review for the benefit of those of you who may have missed out on some of the previous broadcasts. So you'll pardon us for spending just a moment or two in review of Genesis chapter 22. And may I again suggest that you have your Bible always open during these broadcasts of Bible study. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. The record of the sacrifice of Isaac is undoubtedly one of the clearest, unmistakable types in the Bible of the gospel, the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. In this chapter, we have the record of Abraham sacrificing his son upon an altar on Mount Moriah at the simple request of the Lord his God. This touching story in this chapter of Father Abraham willingly sacrificing his son has, of course, been one of the greatest obstacles and stumbling blocks to the unspiritual mind and the unbelieving heart of the infidel. It has been made the occasion for all sorts of vicious attacks upon the Bible. And skeptics and infidels charge our God with being a brutal and a bloodthirsty God. Imagine, they say, a loving God demanding of his child the murder of his own son. Impossible, away with that kind of a God, they tell us. And yet, while the carnal mind is offended and shocked at the story, to the spiritual man born again by the Spirit of God, it is one of the most tender, sacred pictures of the Lord himself, who spared not his son in order to redeem us from eternal punishment. Now Abraham understood the meaning of this demand, and that is the reason why he did it so willingly. For he looked way beyond the sacrifice of Isaac to Calvary, where God's son, of whom Isaac was only a type, was to die for us. This is absolutely so, for Paul tells us in Galatians that Abraham had the gospel preached to him. And our Savior himself tells us in John 8 and verse 56, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And now come with me again to the mountain with Abraham and with Isaac. Here Abraham, to all intents and purposes, puts to death his son, and God reckoned it as if he actually did it, for he says 2,000 years later in Hebrews, By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Hebrews 11:17. Isaac then was, as far as God was concerned, potentially put to death and was dead for 3 entire days. And Abraham also considered him to be dead for 3 days. And all those 3 days, from the time that God commanded him to sacrifice Isaac until the time when God restored him to life again, Abraham knew no different than that Isaac would literally have to die upon the altar. But after 3 days came the resurrection of Isaac. For God showed Abraham a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. And Abraham takes the ram and offers him up instead of his son and in the place of Isaac. That, beloved, is resurrection. Him whom Abraham had considered to be dead is now suddenly restored to him again. That, I repeat, is resurrection. And the Bible tells us that Abraham considered it so. For we read again in Hebrews 11 that Abraham accounted that God was able to raise him, Isaac, from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So far, then, we have Isaac as a type of Christ, going to the mountain, being slain, dying, and after 3 days rising from the dead. But now notice the next step. Now follows the ascension of the Son. For Isaac now disappears from view. As far as the record in Genesis chapter 22 goes, and you have it open before you, Isaac did not come down from the mountain at all with Abraham, but disappears from view entirely. I would like to repeat that statement. The record does not say that Isaac came down from the mountain, but instead disappears from the record entirely. Now, of course, we know that he actually did come down, but I say as far as the record goes in Genesis 22, that is, in the type, Isaac disappears. All through the next chapter, Genesis 23, And up to the end of chapter 24, Isaac is out of the picture. You won't find him at all. But instead, Eliezer, servant of Abraham, type of the Holy Spirit, now comes into view and goes to a far country to seek a bride for Isaac in Genesis 24. But remember, Isaac is absent now and does not reappear until at the close of chapter 24, and then he reappears to meet his bride, Rebekah, in the field. We trust you have your Bible open, because I want you to follow this. In Genesis 22:19, here we read, "So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went to gather to Beersheba." Note carefully, it does not say that Isaac returned. He is not even mentioned, but it says, "So Abraham returned." It does not say, "So Abraham and Isaac returned," but Isaac disappears now from the record and does not appear again until he comes to meet his bride in Genesis 24. Isaac, then, in the story, remains upon the mountain. Now, I trust you've already seen the tremendously beautiful picture of the ascension of Christ, the greater Son. As Isaac disappears after his resurrection, so too our Lord disappeared when he ascended and was taken from our view. And the work is now carried on by Eliezer, the servant, the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father to call out a bride for the Son. Just the same as during Jesus' absence right now, the Holy Spirit, who was typified by this servant, was sent by the fire by the Father at Pentecost and is today calling out his bride. Nowhere in the entire Bible do we find a more beautiful picture of God's program, which began at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and ends at his coming again. We would have you follow it very closely in your Bible, and I know your heart's going to be thrilled as mine was when I saw this for the first time. In Genesis 21, we have the birth of the promised Son. Isaac is supernaturally, miraculously born against the laws of nature. Then in Genesis 22, we have the death of this son on Mount Moriah, pointing to Calvary. In the close of Genesis 22, we have the resurrection of the son, and then follows his ascension in type as he disappears. And now will you notice what happens in the next chapter? It is the account of the death of Sarah, the mother who gave birth to the son. Truly, we cannot mistake the type here of the setting aside of the nation of Israel, the woman who gave birth to the son after the death and the resurrection of the Son of God, the great antitype of Isaac. If you will turn to Genesis 23 and verse 2, we read this, "And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba." Now, this woman that gave birth to Isaac now passes out of the picture. She represents the nation of Israel. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 5, we read of this woman again as follows. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, traveling in birth and pain to be delivered. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she was nourished by the Lord." Here then is a retrospective picture of this woman, the nation of Israel, typified by Sarah, the mother of Isaac, bringing forth the man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now we know that this man who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces as a potter's vessel is absolutely none else than the Lord Jesus Christ. This child is definitely identified in the second Psalm by David and many other passages as none other than the Son of God. You see, then, the woman, Israel, is driven into the wilderness of the nations after the coming and the sacrifice of the Son. And so our picture becomes complete. Sarah dies. The woman who gave birth to the Son is set aside, and Israel, in type, buried among the nations, scattered, while the bride is being called out until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Sarah is dead, and now comes chapter 24. Abraham now sends his servant, during the absence of the son, his servant Eliezer, to a far country to seek a bride for his son Isaac. It is a long and a tedious journey, but when he returns, Isaac comes out to meet Rebekah in the field, and he takes her significantly into his mother Sarah's tent. Here then we have the rapture of the church, when the bride is finally brought home to meet the son. All of this we hope to study, the Lord willing, in our next message on Genesis 24. But before we close, we would like to point and call your attention to Genesis 24, especially where Genesis 25, where Abraham is remarried again. The record begins as follows. I'm reading now from Genesis chapter 25, verse 1. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimram, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Eshbak, and Shua. Notice that Abraham remarries after the death of Sarah, and becomes the father of no less than 6 sons, and an unrecorded number of daughters. Here then we have the future blessing of all the nations through Abraham, and God's covenant promise is finally fulfilled, that he become the father of many nations. After the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Isaac in type, then comes the death of Sarah, the setting aside of Israel, then the calling out of the bride, and now comes the blessing of Abraham and the birth of all these children. Surely these lessons are crystal clear. Now, after the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, Israel as a nation too was set aside, and she has been out of her land until recently. And during the interval, the Holy Spirit, typified by this servant of Abraham, on Pentecost came upon the scene. And the bride is being called out today, and soon will come the meeting of the groom and the bride and the wedding in the sky, to be followed by the glorious millennial messianic kingdom, when Israel shall be completely restored in her land, and all nations shall be blessed through the seed of Abraham. Surely this day cannot be far off with all the indications round about us multiplying. You have recognized that most of the prophecy of this type in the life of Abraham is already history by this time. The son has come. He came 1900 years ago. He has been born. He has been sacrificed. He has arisen from the grave. The great event that all the world celebrates today and looks back to that glorious victory of the Son of God, typified by Isaac when he was suddenly spared from death and pointed forward to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That great crowning event in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But after the resurrection, he ascended, and he is today at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And then the Holy Spirit too has come and has been sent into the world, and the bride is being called out, and the long journey is almost over, and soon we shall see our Isaac as he comes to meet us. And then the blessing of the kingdom on this earth shall be fulfilled according to the words of God in many passages, but especially Isaiah chapter 2, where we read concerning this, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall come and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. What a glorious promise of future glory and peace upon the earth. For one of these days, just as surely as the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, in fulfillment of the type of Isaac's sacrifice and resurrection, the event all the world celebrates today, just so surely he is coming again the second time. And we know it cannot be far away. Everything is pointing to his very soon imminent return. And right this very moment, we are nearer, yes, we are nearer the second coming of Christ than we have ever been before in all of history. And so the question each one of us ought to face is this: am I ready for that imminent day? It is coming, my friend. It may be soon, much sooner than you think. And I want to press upon you in the last few moments of this broadcast. Are you ready? Are you ready for that event? Oh, if you are not, then will you turn to him with all the indications round about us, and especially at this season when you are reminded so strikingly of the fact that Jesus did come and did die and did rise to save you. This is the best time in the world I know of that you ought to receive him. One of these days he's going to come. The Christians will rejoice, but for you who are left behind, it will mean only eternal doom. Some golden daybreak Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak, he's coming for me. Will he be coming for you? Can you with me now say in the last prayer of the Bible, even so come, Lord Jesus? If you can, then we can also close this message with this benediction for you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.